Time to get our view from the middle. He was in Omaha last weekend, saw three really good games, including that KU-Duke masterpiece. Final Four is set. Follow his work in the red section of USA Today online, usatoday.com, on Twitter, at George Schroeder. George, how are things with you?
Things are good. How are you?
George, try it one more time. Our bad on the technical end. How are things?
I'm good. How are you?
Well, now that I can hear your voice, I got to tell you, I'm a lot better.
All right.
So I was speaking yesterday with the guy who now sits in your chair, Austin Meek, and we were talking about this Final Four. You've got the Blue Blood in Kansas, kind of a rising power in Villanova, a team like Michigan who just seems to do well in the tournament, and our darling Loyola Chicago. Safe to say, there's a lot of great storylines here. Maybe a little something for everybody.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think first thing I'd like to say is it's Austin's chair, and he fills it very, very well.
He does.
He's doing a tremendous job. But I did really enjoy having that space in that community. It was a great job, and now he's doing a great job with a great job. So anyway, long story short, but listen, I think this is a great Final Four. You know, I guess everybody who doesn't have a team in it is probably going, wow, can Loyola's run continue? And that's who we're going to pull for. And my goodness, they're called the Ramblers, and Sister Jean rolling around all the time. I mean, you know, so you got that story. Michigan is not exactly a peppy up and comer, but it's a team that maybe you didn't expect, to be there probably. I guess maybe they were some people's pick as a 3-seed. And then you have the 2-1 seeds who have played really, really well. Villanova might be the best team in college basketball throughout the course of the season, and they're playing like that in the tournament. And then Kansas has morphed into something much different and better than even it was, you know, late last month when it kind of surged to win its 14th straight Big 12 title. They're a different team now than they were then. I saw them in person twice in the regular season, once when I was writing a story about the Trae Young show with Oklahoma, and then again, when they clinched the regular season title in Lubbock against Texas Tech. They are so much better after having seen them now these last four games of the tournament. They're so much better, Kansas is, than it was at that point. And the big reason is the emergence of Malik Newman, the sophomore transfer from Mississippi State. He has taken them to another level. Long story short, there are plenty of great storylines in this Final Four.
Yeah, you know, during your spots on this show, it's kind of interesting. Normally, we don't focus on one college basketball team, but I feel like we talked about Kansas four or five times all year. You know, first we wondered, is their Big 12 dominance over? They didn't have, their typical high-level lottery pick, and then all of a sudden, they sustained. Like you said, they improved, landed here. So I know sometimes he's taken some heat for underachieving, so now on the other end, you got to doff your cap to the job Bill Self did.
Yeah, I think so. Listen, there's always been this sort of rap on Bill Self, fair or not, that they have not reached expectations once they got to the NCAA tournament. And by the way, the program like Kansas, it's nice to win Big 12 titles, and they like that streak and this, that, and the other. And they're dominating a very good basketball league, but at Kansas, in order to have a special year, you got to go to the Final Four. And at some point, they need you to win national titles. And obviously, they won one 10 years ago in 2008.
Right.
By the way, in San Antonio. So that's great. But they were 2-for-7 going to the Final Four, in other words, in Elite Eight games under Bill Self. And, of course, Oregon fans recall that the Ducks pasted them last year in Kansas City in as close to a home game environment as you can probably have in the tournament. Tremendous win for Oregon, but another sort of missed opportunity for Kansas. This is not one of those teams that anybody expected to be where they are right now. This was a team that doesn't have a surefire lottery pick on it. They're very thin. They go 7 deep, sometimes 8 if they have to, and only if they have to. They don't have any size. They play 4 guards, and yet here they are. And right now they're playing well enough that I realize Villanova has to be pretty much everybody's pick. But you should not be surprised if Kansas not only beats Villanova, but wins the whole thing.
Yeah, that Sweet 16 game against Clemson, you know, looked like a blowout. But then Gabe DeVoe kind of led the Tigers roaring back. Yes, I use Tigers and roar. They got the 20-point lead down to 6. But you just kind of mentioned, with that four-guard lineup, and you look at Kansas, aside from Azubuike, they really don't have size. So is that maybe like a potential Achilles? Because if they don't make outside shots, they might run into problems.
Yeah, I do think that's but that's always kind of been their deal. And that's where, when I mentioned Malik Newman earlier, that's where his, I don't know what you would call it, his surge, his improvement, whatever it is, he's now their best player, or has been over the last 7 games, which takes you back to the start of the Big 12 tournament. You know, so the postseason, he's been their best player, surpassing Devontae Graham, who's an All-American, a consensus All-American, and kind of a, you know, a National Player of the Year award candidate. I don't think he'll win most of those. But Malik Newman is now the best player, and I think that changes the game for them. You're right, though. They're thin and they're small, and other than Azubuike, they don't have any real inside presence. And so if they're not shooting the ball well, they're susceptible on any night. The deal that's good for them is, all 4 of the guards in that 4-guard lineup can shoot. Sometimes right. They're all on, but usually 2 of them are on, and that you know, that's usually good enough. So, it, you know, look, and defensively, they have matchup issues with a lot of teams. I'm not sure they're going to have tremendous matchup issues in this Final Four. I think maybe Duke was the one where you thought, here's where some serious matchups issues can be. What they do present, though, is they present big-time matchup issues for the other team. When the other team's playing defense because of that 4-guard lineup.
Talking March Madness, George Schroeder, USA Today. I know in the aftermath, losing teams are heartbroken, but, you know, that Clemson team was picked 13th of 15 in the ACC preseason media poll. And I know we have Maryland, Baltimore County, Loyola, that great Kansas-Duke game, great moments. But is it maybe nice to remember what an incredible job this Tiger team did to almost get to the Final Four?
Yeah, listen, I mean, those guys, first of all, the ACC was really good and really deep. Now, they got 15 teams or whatever it is, yeah, counting Notre Dame. So for them to have 8 in is not necessarily the same thing as if you're the Big 12, which numerically challenged has 10 and had 7 teams in. But it's a deep league. Clemson's not been one of the programs that you think about because, you know, frankly, they hadn't been in the NCAA very often over the last few years. And so, you know, it's going to be very interesting to see whether they're able to, or whether Brad Brunell's able to continue that. But this was clearly a really, really good year for Clemson. And they're one of those programs that, while they think to themselves, yeah, a couple plays here or there, we could have come all the way back and maybe won that. I never really thought the game was completely, you know, I thought Kansas was in pretty good shape, even when it was, you know, 4 in the final minute. It's just a little bit tense all of a sudden. But that's the kind of season that if you're at Clemson, unlike at a Kansas or a Duke or North Carolina, you get to the Sweet 16 and play really well against the number 1 seed, and you think that was a great year.
You know, when we were down to a Final 5 that last game, and, you know, you were there, you're talking the heavyweights. We had a lot of surprises, but all of a sudden, there it is, Kansas versus Duke. Grayson Allen almost does his Leitner impersonation and buzzer beats him into the Final 4. You mentioned the magnificence of, and you even wrote, "Hello, Newman." But you've been to many, many, many magnificent moments. That atmosphere and that game, how special was that?
You know, and we always have a recency bias here, but that game with Duke and Kansas lived up to sort of the billing. It's as good as any I've seen in person in a long, long time. I was trying to think, in terms of not just the fact that it was 2 really high-level teams, obviously a 1 and a 2, but that they played really good basketball. Both of them did, and they sort of kept exchanging punches. It's a little bit like a heavyweight fight. So it was a tremendous game. It, frankly, it was worthy of not just a Final Four rather than a regional final. It was worthy of like a title game. That's how good the 2 teams were and how well they both played on that game. And so, you know, I'm sure that if I started scratching through the memory banks, I could come up with a couple of games that are, you know, as good as. But when you start talking about the stage itself and everything else, it's hard to think I would really top that just in my own personal memory banks. Obviously, there have been a ton of great college basketball games through the years. I'm just talking about ones I've been
sure. No, that was worth it. I mean, you could eat. When Coach K loses a game like that, he's usually devastated, and he talked about it being an honor to share the court. I thought that spoke volumes. Dan Wolken, a colleague of yours, I liked his angle on this Loyola Chicago team. You retweeted the article. Just because a team fails to get a lot of national attention or maybe has an 11 next to their name doesn't mean this is a miracle. I mean, they won 32 games. The Missouri Valley's a strong basketball league. So I guess the bottom line is, great story, but they're really a good basketball team.
Yeah, I mean, they really are. And none of us knew anything about them, if we're all being honest, before they got into the tournament and even after they were playing, frankly. And look, they're an interesting model. It's a bunch of sort of guys who were, you know, not top recruits, who've been there a while, who've, you know, become... they play a really high level of sort of share the ball, cutting and finding open spots, and they're fun to watch. And it's not a miracle, as you said. If you watch these games, look, they had a couple of buzzer beater type wins, no question. But all through those games, they played well. There was nothing fluky about either of those games. And then they were just flat out better in the regional final, flat out better. Now that was kind of a mid-level K-State team, and they were playing without their best player. I get all that, but Loyola Chicago was just better than they were, and that was, you know, it was a decent Big 12 team, as I said. So it's a great story, and here's what I think is interesting about it. I think, and it probably won't do this, it serves notice to the selection committee that it's time to stop. And look, Oregon fans may not like to hear this, because quite often the teams in these big leagues are looking for that at-large spot. But it's time to maybe recognize that there's good basketball being played in these lower-level leagues, and that some of these sort of metrics that you use to try to distinguish among these teams, things like we learned about quadrant wins this year, but whatever it is, relative strength of schedules and things like that, don't really define how good a team is. And I don't know the best way to go about picking a field, and those guys work really hard to do it, but I think they quite often give short shrift to the mid-majors because they don't have sort of the same things on their resume in terms of data.
No.
And sometimes they're like Loyola Chicago.
No, I would always rather get a second or third from the A-10 or the Missouri Valley than a ninth from the ACC or something like that. So you, like me, in closing, had one Final Four team correct. We both had Villanova. We both got burned by North Carolina. And so now we get a reset. We mentioned Kansas navigated a tough course. Nova won them all by at least 12. Michigan, you know, needed the buzzer beater to survive. And then you have the Ramblers. So right now you have a lean maybe as to how this all plays out.
Well, listen, I'd love to see Loyola win it, but I think their road ends Saturday. I think Michigan is a really good team. Now, listen, they're like other teams. Michigan's also really fortunate to have escaped the second round when they were outplayed by Houston, and they got the 28-footer to win it from the freshman Jordan Poole.
Right.
We talked about that last week. But they're really a really good defensive team. They're really versatile. They got a bunch of guys who all kind of look like they're playing the same position, and that's good news for them, and I think they're going to present some serious problems for Loyola. So I think Michigan wins that game, as much as I would love to see it go the other way, so I hope I'm wrong. And then I don't really know who comes out of this this other bracket. I know Villanova is the favorite. I think Kansas has been playing tremendously, and maybe this is one of those weird years when they win it all, but I can't pick against Nova. So I'm going to pick Villanova, and then I'm going to pick them to win the whole thing.
All right.
That's just how I feel about it. I don't. That probably means that everyone should run far, far away from both those picks. or I guess that's three picks, all three of those picks.
And, hey, if Nova wins, that's 2 in 3 years. You know, that's saying something for Jay Wright. Folks, he is George Schroeder, USA Today. Always kind enough to get our Wednesday off and rolling. George, thanks for the time. You travel safe. We catch up next week to recap and see what April holds.
Sounds good to me. Thanks, man.
All right, take it easy.